A man was walking down the street one day and he saw a sign in front of a house. It said, "Talking dog for sale." Thought that was a little odd, but he rings the bell and he goes up and he asks the guy, he says, "See, you've got a dog for sale that talks." And he said, "Yeah, he's out in the backyard." Said, go around and see him. So he goes around, opens the gate, walks in. He sees this black mutt sitting out there in the backyard. And he said, "You talk?" The guy says, "Yep, that's what they tell me." He said, "I talk." So he says, "Well, what's your story?" He said, "Well, I learned a long time ago that I could talk." So he said, "I went to the CIA. And I told them what this gift was that I had. And they thought that was kind of unique, a dog that talks." So he said, "They let me sit in on different types of meetings." And he said, "I learned a lot." And he said, "I was able to share a lot about what was going on in the world with people." Because he said, they figured, a dog wasn't going to be eavesdropping. But he said, after 8 years, he says, "I was a valuable spy to him." But he said, "I got tired of jetting around the world." So he said, "I took a job at an airport." And he said, "I was just standing around watching suspicious characters and sniffing bags and things like that." And he said, "I got a little tired of that." So he said, "I just retired from that." And he said, "Had a wife, a mess of puppies." And he said, "Now I'm retired." And he said, "I'm taking it easy." The man's amazed at this dog. So he goes around, he knocks on the door, and he said, "Well, what do you want for this dog?" And the guy said, $10. He said, $10 for that dog? He said, "It's amazing." He said, "He's such a liar. He didn't do all that stuff he said he did." So, if you listen to this message online or this service online and you hear the joke, you've heard the message because that dog was sowing seeds. Receiving the life and receiving the blessing from God and the blessing of God is just the beginning of what is a brand new life. Old things, as the Bible says, are passed away. New things become new. And that sounds good, but how do I get it? How do I get the blessing? What's the blessing in it for me? And so when we figure out what we need to know and we know how it works, then we have the answer to every issue of health in our lives, every issue concerning healing if we're sick, prosperity if we're having a financial need, and even the richest people in the world have financial needs. It's not just the people that don't think they don't have. But it also gives you the ability to have dominion over our adversary, Satan. And a lot of times we look at this blessing idea and we think, well, it's nice to be prosperous. It's nice to be healthy. It's nice to be whole. But what happens is when that blessing affects our life, it affects our life in all three phases that we talked about last week. Of spirit, soul, and body. The whole part of man is taken care of. It says, and the Bible says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And that blessing takes place in our lives when we're born again. Or when we say to Jesus, "I'm sick and tired of the way I'm living. I need you to give me direction and I need you in life." So, as joint heirs with Jesus, we kind of have this thing that Jesus gave us was possessions. He said, "I give you everything in heaven and earth." And he actually said in Matthew, he said, "Whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven." Which means that if we bind something on earth, say a sickness, in faith, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God says, "Hey, Dad. Hey, Father. My servant down here has a need." That's what it means when it says, "What's bound on earth is bound in heaven." And so he's given us all those spiritual blessings in heaven and on earth. So we have it. And Abraham, his faith actually originally initiated this and initiated this blessing in your life and my life. If I get up and sit down and get up and sit down, it's because my knee gets tired. And so's my body. I give it about 4 hours sleep a night. So if you need something to pray for, pray that I can get a full night's sleep. I've been operating. I'm like Roger. I operate on 3 or 4 hours sleep a day, but I'm looking for a good night's sleep again. That's what Earl said this morning. He's waiting for a good night's sleep. But it's that faith that connects our blessing. And when we sow a seed of faith, we are sowing a seed of blessing in someone's life. And so trying to work into that blessing doesn't work. It's not going to happen that way, because what we do and the life that we live is a life of faith that God has given to us. And so one of the seeds that we sow is a seed of maturity. We need to grow in Christ. I think it was Paul that said, you no longer live on milk, but you live on the meat of the word. You live on the protein, what gives you substance, what gives us health. And somebody said this week, I read, it said, we should do what's right because it's right. Then do right. And it's one thing to know it. It's one thing to think we ought to do it, but it's another thing to go out and do it. And we do it out of love. And we do it because we are already blessed in God and everything that He has for us. And when we read this and we talk about this blessing of Abraham, because honestly, Adam blew the blessing. And so God said, I've got another person. God had that person when Abraham failed. I mean, when Adam failed. God had Abraham sitting down there. He wasn't alive, but he was there in God's plan for him. And so it's not an Abraham story, but it's a God story of what God had done through Abraham. We read in Scripture, it said, Abraham entered what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. And sometimes we think we can do it on our own. If we're hard working, we do a good job, we get a paycheck. But that's not what it's all about. Wages are not a gift. It's something that you've earned. And it's the same way with trusting God. We don't get a check from trust. We get a blessing from trust. Someone said, if those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything they are told to do and filling out all the right forms properly signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into an ironclad contract. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. A business deal is a contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer and with plenty of fine print, only making sure that you will never be able to collect. But if there's no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise is at that, you can't break it. Keeping rules without faith is worthless. But you can't keep God's rules without faith and without believing what He said He would do. That's why religion doesn't work. That's why man running around searching for God doesn't work. Christianity is God dealing with His family and His family dealing with Him. Galatians 3:8-9, and Tom read it, says, now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and told the good news, get this, ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. So we sow the seed of faith. How do we sow the seed of faith? Well, Greg mentioned one thing. He prays for people. I pray for people. You pray for people. You encourage people. You talk to people that are troubled, that have difficult things going on in their lives, and you encourage them. We're going to start a lay pastor class here, and what that is going to do is equip people to encourage people and help them to work through difficult times. Hebrews says the whole world was framed by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And all that we do when we act in faith is sowing seeds of faith. God told us He'd bless us. He assured us He would bless us in everything that we did, and He even did it with a blood covenant. Now, if Good Friday is this Friday, and we're going to have a Good Friday service here, which is very solemn. I'm not a big fan of solemn services. Greg and I were talking the other day. I'll be honest, I'm really not. Because if I was a big fan of solemn services and Jesus was a big fan of solemn services, He would have never given Sandy joy. That's just the way God operates. But we're going to be here and we're going to celebrate that, and we're going to look at that blood covenant, because that blood covenant, when he shared it, sealed it. And it's one of the things, my grandfather was 100% Blackfoot Indian. And one of the things that Native Americans did was seal things with blood covenants. They would each cut themselves and touch each other to seal a blood covenant. Is really what it was. So when I think about that, that's rather unique. When you understanding the significance of that blood covenant. But the question is, how do we do this? Well, the first thing we do is we make a quality decision. Well, what's that got to do with it? Well, the Bible says we should, and I've said this for a couple weeks, that we renew our mind daily. What we have to learn to do is to make this say what it says, not what we want it to say, or not what one verse out of context says, and we think that that's what it says. But what it says is what it says from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. And so when we can get that in our mind, that's the first part. That's the first quality decision we make. And that unlocks the power in our life and unlocks everything and every opportunity that we have. And then the Bible directs us from there as far as the plan is concerned. And so when we accept that word and that Bible as a supreme authority, then we've made the first step, the first part of that quality decision. So the next step is, well, how much time do I need to spend here? Well, it's a funny thing. 10% investment gives 10% results. 50% investment gives you 50% results. 100% investment, I bet that gives 100%. And I shared Thursday night that I was going to talk about this, but I was reading something by Kenneth Copeland this week, and he said when he first became a Christian, and he said, I was in debt up to my ears, and God called me into the ministry to go to Oral Roberts University. And so he said that I didn't really have faith to do it. But he said, Gloria said, if that's what God said, that's what we're going to do. So he said, we loaded up everything that we had in the family, in the car, and moved to Tulsa. And he said that he was talking to Oral Roberts one day, and said, Oral Roberts told him, he said, if you want to really get into what I'm doing, and Oral Roberts was one of the greatest faith healers in this century's ever known. He said, you've got to get into the Word of God, and you've got to dig into it. And he said, so I went in my garage for the next week with a Bible and a notebook. And he said, I told Gloria to call me for meals, and if I don't come out in 30 minutes, eat without me. But he said, I got so saturated into it, and he said, I believed what it said. And so that became his authority. So we make a quality decision. What do we do next? Well, listen to Bible teaching. Since I no longer have Sirius Radio in my Jeep, I listen to 1460. And if you want to get some good teaching, Chuck Swindoll's on there, Andrew Womack's on there. There's some good stuff on there of a morning. And I listen to that when I'm in the Jeep. You may look at something and think, I don't really understand that. But if we've made the commitment that that's our authority, we're going to act on it. Go to Carol Farmer's favorite bookstore, Half Price Books. We've seen each other in there. Buy a concordance. Get a Bible that you can understand. I don't care what anybody says about a translation. They're wrong. Get something in English. It'll really help you understand what's going on. Keep on planting seeds that are in your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say, well, I don't understand that. Just act on it. Luke 17:6 says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord says you can say, and the translation I said was, say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. And it's not going to come the first day. I don't think. It's going to take work. It's going to take study. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take practice. But Jesus made it pretty clear that if you want faith, quit praying for faith. Because he said everybody's got a measure of faith. He didn't say keep praying for faith. You already got it. Use it. Exercise it. When faith comes and we get so consumed with it that in spite of the circumstances around us, we know that God has sown a seed in our lives, that we're able to sow that same seed. I often hear people say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then they stop. There's a colon. And then it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. So there is power in the tongue, but it can be a power of faith, as well as what Tom read earlier about cursed is the person. So there is that prayer of faith and that belief of faith. So when we say, whoever shall move the mountain and it'll be removed and cast into the sea, when we say it, we believe it. Someone said, I read this week, our lives are governed by our words, and we sow words of faith, not words of doubt. Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Start speaking blessing. I shared a couple weeks ago about, or last week maybe, about the power of positive confession and what happens when you don't confess things in a positive manner. Your dog gets expelled from daycare. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. That we speak prosperity. We speak life into things. So we no longer call her a monster. We've started calling her an angel. Among some other things. But I believe that that'll change. Oh, you're crazy. I'll let you know. And you know I don't lie to you. So as we begin sowing seed, we need to remember this. We do not start with what we need. We start with faith. That's the first thing. And we start in simple faith, and simple faith becomes greater as we renew our mind and as we grow in faith. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Don't let anybody take the seed that you've sown away from you. People will do it, and people will try. It's like, get behind me, Satan. Don't let people steal your joy. Spend time in prayer. Spend time fasting if you need to. Bible says some things only come by prayer and fasting. Dream big. Don't dream about small things. Dream about big things. And then put plans together to accomplish them. Open your Bible. Create an inner image of God's Word. What is really in here for me? What's He saying to me? Let your imagination go until faith rises so strong within you that you can't control it. And you can't no longer handle it. So think about a need in your life. Add a seed of simple faith to start to believe. Doesn't make any difference what your need is. But start with simple faith, believing that what I need, God's going to take care of. Because that's our exercise of faith. Pray and study on faith and fast if you need to. But sow seed and then get ready for abundance of harvest. In closing, you don't always know what seed you're going to sow and what the amount of the harvest will bring or what the harvest will be or the abundance of the harvest. But we know we need to sow seed. If you ever reach to help a friend, a hand you held might lift you again. What goes around comes back around, you know. You always reap exactly what you sow. And so the chorus of that song says, show mercy, show grace, show kindness, show faith. I told you I got a call from Melissa Schiff this week. And she had told me that she had talked to Ryan Jones's mom. And that she was there at the hospital when he passed away. But she had a talk with him and said, that when you get to heaven, send me a sign. Those are seeds that had been sown years before. Not on a hospital bed. But seeds of faith, of trust, of belief that had been sown years ago. And he said something like, shortly after I'm gone, I'll let you know. And Moses said the light started to flicker in the room. And that was Mom's sign that everything was okay. My son's grandmother experienced the same thing with a dove landing on side of a guy outside of an electrical wire outside their kitchen. You can't tell me that seeds that you sow don't harvest something. So seeds of faith, seeds of blessing in people's lives will do more than you can ever imagine. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have taught us how to plant, how to sow. And so help us learn more how to stay in faith as that seed matures. As our faith matures in you, as the opportunity to grow in faith becomes our ultimate goal and our ultimate desire is to act on your word for what it says. And not to deviate from it, not to try to interpret it. But if you say, do this, we do this. in Jesus' name.